Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing unto thee, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our salvation. Amen. What do you think about our gospel reading for today? Aren't you glad you came? You can hear Jesus talking about fire on earth, baptisms to be endured, families that are split apart, people at odds with each other. Wow. What a wonderful thing it is. And then we get to say, this is the gospel of our Lord. Well, I got to tell you, this is not a Jesus that I'm really comfortable with. But you know what? We follow a lectionary. This is the 10th Sunday in Pentecost in Series C. And so this is the gospel reading for that day. It has been assigned. I'm not trying to tell you anything by preaching this message to you today about divisions or anything like that. It's just what came up. And so I'm stuck with it. And because you're here, you didn't stay home to watch the Padre game or to do the crossword puzzles or have an extra cup of coffee, you're stuck with it too. So we're in this together. So let's try to make the most of it. So what on earth is going on with Jesus saying this? I came to cast fire on earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. Now, there's a couple ways to look at that. You could look at it like, you know, fire is judgment. But the way I liked to think of it, well, first of all, let's go back to when Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. In the Gospel of Matthew, the 21st chapter, verse 10, the Pharisees told Jesus that the whole city was stirred up. I think that's what he's talking about here. I came here to light the world on fire. Amen? And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to light the world on fire. And how I wish it were already kindled. And then he comes and he talks about a baptism. He goes, I have baptism to endure. And great is my distress until it is completed. So what is this it? What we're going to see as we go through here that it's his crucifixion and his resurrection. That's what he came for. How many of you know that Jesus was born to be crucified? You guys get that, right? That's the whole reason that he took on flesh and left the heavens is because of our sin. And the only way that we could be made right with God was for Christ to take our sinfulness into himself and then give us in exchange his righteousness. So that it is my favorite word in the universe. It's a Greek word, tetelestai. It means it is finished, paid for completely. We are redeemed. But greatly is he constrained until it is accomplished. His baptism, his hanging on the cross. Now, I don't think Jesus is being combative in this, but he's being real. Amen. Jesus doesn't pull any punches. You know, I had a seminary professor of homiletics named Reverend Dr. David Schmidt in St. Louis. And he told me a story one time that brought this reading brought this story to mind. It was Christmas time. And the congregation was going to do a Christmas concert chorus. And he was sitting in the pews, and a lady was sitting next to him and said, "You know, Pastor, I can't wait until Christmas is over." And Pastor Schmidt, you know, thought about it for a minute. And he nodded his head, thinking he understood. He goes, "Yeah, I know. It's a lot of challenges on our time and a lot of things that we have to do. It can be very stressful." And she goes, "No, that's not what I mean at all." And she explained to him that she had a daughter who had moved away from the house, given up her Christian faith, and in fact began to think that Christianity was one of the leading causes of all the problems that we have in the world. And she moved to New York, but she always came to St. Louis, where her mother lived, for Christmas. And that put her under a lot of pressure. She didn't know how to get it right. Because if she planned her meal around Christmas Eve service, there would be a huge fight. Mother against daughter, daughter against mother. But if she just went, did not do Christmas Eve, she felt terrible. So she said, I can never get Christmas Eve right. I think that conversation, when we read the words of Jesus today, Jesus really gets right to the heart of that woman's concern. He speaks to us in the middle of his ministry. He says, Do you think that I came to bring peace? I say, well, yes, Jesus. I think that you came to bring us peace. After all, aren't you the Prince of Peace? After all through Scripture, we talk about how peace is to be had through you. In fact, if we go to the announcement of the angels to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, the angels came to the shepherds and said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men on whose God's favor rests. And then after he was born, Mary and Joseph take him into the temple to be consecrated. And there's this old man, this old prophet, this old priest named Simeon, who God said, you are not going to die until you see the consolation of Israel. You're not going to die until you see the Messiah of Christ. And when Joseph and Mary brought this baby Jesus in, Simeon, this crusty old man, ran over to this little baby, grabbed him in his arms, and he said, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. There it is again. Luke chapter 7, verse 50. Jesus is invited to a group of Pharisees' house for dinner. He's reclining at the table. And as he's reclining at the table, Luke announces that a sinful woman, that kind of covers all of us, doesn't it? Sinful men, sinful women. The sinful woman anointed his feet with this very expensive perfume. And the Pharisees said, wow, if he was really a prophet, he would realize who this person was and wouldn't let her touch him. Jesus knew exactly who she was. She was a sinner. She was loved by God. Jesus knows exactly who you are. You're a sinner, and you're loved by God. So Jesus says to this woman, your faith has saved you. Go in. Then there's another time when there's this woman that's suffering with a bleeding condition. Now, you got to understand, in Jesus' day, if you had a bleeding condition, you would be unclean. Anything you touched was unclean. So this woman had this bleeding condition for 12 years. For 12 years, she wasn't allowed to come into the temple. For 12 years, she was separated from her family. For 12 years, she suffered with this, and she used all of her resources to try to get to the bottom of it, yet no one helped. So she heard about this Jesus. So she decides that she's going to, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. So she covers up her face so no one could recognize her. And she goes into the crowd. And as the crowd's all jamming around Jesus, she reaches out, touches the hem of his garment, and she's healed. Jesus feels power going through him. So he turns around and said, who touched me? The disciples are like, dude, you see the crowd? Everybody's pushing up against you. How can you ask who touched me? But the woman knew. She confessed. She fell at Jesus' feet. And this is what Jesus said to her. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in. When Jesus sent out his disciples to go on these missions, he said, when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. So yeah, Jesus, we think that you came to bring us peace, because from the birth announcement till the very end, you are called the Prince of Peace. But Jesus wants us to know something, because his peace is different than what we might expect. His is a peace that divides. We live in a paradoxical tension. There will be peace in Jesus, but it will be one that divides us. Living in this tension is hard. It's a constant balancing act. On one hand, we can say, okay, we're going to overemphasize peace. We're going to say that we all need to get along and accept as 100% true all the religions of the world and every single buddy, no matter what they have to believe. Now, is that helpful? It might be helpful if you're making s'mores around the fire, but if you're interested in somebody's eternal soul, there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, there was no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Paul wrote in Philippians that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we can overemphasize this idea of peace and unity, but it's not true. On the other hand, we can overemphasize division. Have you ever been in a congregation that overemphasized division? Well, let me ask it this way. Have you ever not been in a congregation that didn't overemphasize division? Sometimes we can be so divided about things. So what's the right path? Jesus brings us a peace that divides, a peace for all people, a peace where sins are forgiven, where we're rescued from Satan and even death itself. But this peace will not always be received. It is always, always, always offered, but some will resist and turn away. For this reason, moments of peace can become moments of painful division between those who believe and those who have rejected God's offerings in Jesus. Jesus reveals this division in the crucifixion. Remember when Jesus was crucified, there was one criminal on one side and a criminal on the other side. Both of them began mocking Jesus. One of the criminals said, if you're really God, come down off the cross and take me with you. When Jesus didn't do it, he refused to believe. The other criminal had this close encounter of the Jesus kind. He saw the way Jesus faced death. He was innocently accused. He was beaten. He was nailed to the cross. People were spitting at him. People were mocking him. And what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And this man had a conversion. He trusted in the invisible ways of God. He trusted that God had a plan for his life that he couldn't even see or begin to comprehend. And through faith in Christ that the Holy Spirit worked in him, he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Though joined in a common death, they were divided by peace. One man had it in Christ, and the other one did not. This is the baptism that Jesus referred to, his death and his resurrection that would save and divide the world. To those who believe in this is peace. To those who resist, this is division and condemnation. Pastor Schmidt's friend was right. Christmas is hard, but so is each day in the kingdom of Jesus. We trust and share a peace that divides. This will not change until Christ returns. These words of Jesus do not make our lives any easier, but they assure us that this is what life in the kingdom is all about. This is discipleship. We live with Jesus. We hold on to Jesus. We suffer with Jesus. Because Jesus brings us a peace that divides, but it's the only peace that saves. And may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.